And thanks to the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we will help you keep it running. Now, if you do have to take your vehicle into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, Dan's going to give, like he has for about 25 years here on CC, he'll give you some idea what may be ailing with your car, truck, or van. Morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Did you guys have a good week at Lloyd's?
It was a busy week.
I bet it was.
Yeah, busy and snow-covered In our business, you add snow to the day, and all it does is complicate everything. You have to brush all the cars off before you bring them in to work on them.
And
you have to brush them off before the customer picks them up. And then in the morning and in the evening, you have to move all the cars and plow the snow. So it makes for a long day.
I bet it does.
And I'm getting tired of it.
I think a lot of people are, except maybe the ski resorts and things like that. But if you have a question for Dan, by all means, call it in or text it in. We're already getting both. 651-989-9226 or send Dan a text 81807. Speaking of snow, and again, we've had some ice issues as well, slippery, greasy spots as well. And people, what happens if you, depending on your vehicle, I suppose, get stuck in a snowbank, or some kind of a snow issue? What's the best procedure for getting outside of a tow truck?
Well, that's a good question, because what you don't want to do is spin the wheels, rock the wheel, rock the transmission back and forth. You'd need to treat the vehicle a bit gently and a bit gingerly, because you can break things. If you're switching it from drive to reverse quickly without letting the wheel stop in between, things in the transmission can break. If you're holding the gas pedal wide open throttle with the wheels just spinning, things get going so fast in the transmission and in the differential, they'll just explode.
Really?
They'll just come apart. And so don't do that. So the right answer is, if you get stung up, if you get stuck, if you get hung up in one of these snow piles that the plows make while you're parked, what you really need to do is shovel your way out of it. You need to make room for your vehicle to get out. Now, of course, if you have a four-wheel drive vehicle, you need to do less shoveling. If you have a rear-wheel drive car, forget it.
Isn't that true?
It's impossible. But if you have a front-wheel drive, a low-riding front-wheel drive car, you simply have to do some shoveling and make room, make a path for the vehicle to get out of that mess and out onto the dry pavement.
I can't remember the material I remember years ago people using to, a section of carpet to jam underneath.
Well, traction is only a piece of it, because if you're going over a big mound of snow, the bigger issue is that the car gets hung up on
underneath.
On top of the snow. So shoveling under the wheels and around the wheels is only going to make it worse. Then the wheels have nothing to grab onto.
You're even lower.
Right, you're even lower. So, the right idea is to plan ahead. Don't get yourself hung up on top of one of those mounds, because if you do, then you might be facing a tow truck at least getting the whole neighborhood out there helping to give you a push to get you off of it.
I want to go to the phones, but you recommend if it's in people's budgets, snow tires definitely help you.
Oh, snow tires for sure help, yeah. Not only with this type of deal if you get stuck, but more so as you're driving along the road around curves and that, so they just hold the pavement. It's a much safer way to drive if you have snow tires on your car.
Back to the phones we go. Jim, I believe, is calling from New Germany. Jim, go ahead. Dennis, I can't get Jim on the horn there. Can you do that?
Number two?
Yeah. I can't do it. There he is. Hi, Jim.
Huh? Gentlemen.
Yes, how can we help you?
My grandson has an 04 Ranger, 200,000 plus miles on it. And it seems that in this cold snap we've had, it starts fine, runs a few minutes, and stops. You can go out and start it again. It's the same issue until it warms up. Would that be something with the low idle? Or where would I start looking on that?
Well, we've done a bunch of this. These past month or so, and so this is one thing that I'll recommend. One of the things that controls the idle is the throttle plate, right where the air goes into the intake manifold going into the engine, and over time, and like over 200,000 miles, that throttle plate gets all corroded with crust and carbon, and the amount of air that's going past that throttle plate when it's in the idle position is calibrated. And if you plug that calibration up with a whole bunch of gunk and grime and carbon, there's not enough air getting in there. And the lack of air causes a low idle. And, of course, a low idle will cause it to stall. Once it warms up, it needs less air. So anyway, my advice would be go to a parts store and get a can of carburetor cleaner and then get an old toothbrush and go out there, and a rag, and go out there and clean that throttle plate off real good, scrub it off, scrub that carbon off with a little bit of carb spray and with the toothbrush, and then wipe it all clean and dry. And I think you might be amazed at how much the quality of your idle improves.
Wow, just so, with doing that?
Yeah, see if that takes care of it. If not, then, if it's not idling properly, then it's, beyond that, there's something mechanically that's not working right, and you'll have to take it in and get some help. But try this first. It's cheap and easy. And most of all, it's good maintenance. It needs to be done. It needs to be done anyway. So all you're right. Certainly not wasting any time or money doing it.
Good luck, Jim, with that. Thanks for the call. Chip, I believe, is calling in from White Bear Lake. Chip, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yeah, good morning. I have a 2013 Mazda 5 with a 5 or 6-speed manual transmission. We took it on a trip this weekend, and at some point one morning when I tried to shift it into reverse, it shifted differently. So I pushed it down, only it didn't really need to go down, which it usually does, and pushed over to the left. And now when I shift it, it's hard to find second gear. It's almost like a guide that the shifter uses slipped or something. It runs okay. It can shift once you figure out that it's sort of the new locations. It doesn't grind. It's got about 56,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to figure out what happened to it. We can see it. Drive it. Is there something wrong with it? Did it get frozen? It's in a garage right now. I don't know if it'll thaw out, if that's something to do with it. We drove it home, several hundred miles, and it certainly drives okay. All the gears work. Doesn't grind.
Yeah.
And the clutch seems fine, so it's not slipping.
Yeah.
But it's something changed. I'm just curious if you have any idea what that might be. And if it's something we need to worry about, if it's something we need to fix, or what's involved.
Well, I think that's you're on the right track. If you have it in a warm spot right now where things are thawing out, that certainly can change things. We've seen, of course, I've been working on cars that they're absolutely packed with snow. And I put them in my service bay and raise them up, and of course, then they start to drip, and I'm underneath. It's like Chinese water torture. You're trying to work on the car, look up at the car, and the water's dripping in your eyes. But at any rate, there's snow packed in every crevice of every car on the road right now. If it's not parked in a warm spot or you've driven through deep snow, and so I think that's the first thing I would do is warm it up, see if it makes a difference, and it might not. But if it does, great. If not, then I think certainly what you're looking at is something in the shift linkage. And there's bushings that all of that moving stuff are installed into bushings. And there's guides, like you said, that guide that shift thing where it needs to go. And oftentimes they're plastic or rubber. And that stuff over time deteriorates. And in cold weather can break. And if one of those little bushings or guides breaks, then you're going to have a funny shift pattern. You're not hurting anything if it's getting into gear, and you seem to have figured out how to get it into gear. But if it's getting into gear, it's just fine. You can drive it the way it is. You just have to know the pattern of how to get it there. But you'll have to get it in. If thawing it out doesn't help, you'll have to get it in and see what's broken in there, and somebody will be able to find it for you.
All right. We need to take a quick break, Dan, but we have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till about 7:45, till Jack Farrell time. So if you have a car care question, call it in or text it in here on this Saturday morning on CCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where on that beautiful Grand Avenue?
We are at 9, the snow-covered Grand Avenue to this week. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right halfway between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give Big Nick a call this morning.
Big Nick's there.
Yeah, 651-228-1316.
I love that avenue. You know, I was just thinking how not only do you have great stores and coffee shops and things like that, but it's still residential. It's not, nothing against malls, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a nice blend.
It's user-friendly.
Yeah.
Really?
It really is. And you know, people that live right near Grand Avenue love it. I mean,
I bet they do.
You can walk to wherever it is you want to go and walk and do what you want to do, and it's fun.
All right. I don't work for the Chamber of Commerce. I just think that's a neat avenue.
It's just true. Yeah.
It is
true.
It's true. All right. Let's get some text messages, Dan, before we run out of time. Using texter says 5W20 full synthetic. Is there such an animal as high mileage oil for that synthetic?
That is high mileage oil. Yeah, synthetic is a high mileage oil. In fact, when we do an oil change at Lloyd's, if we use a conventional, which is a kind of a gray description anymore, but if we use a conventional oil, the less expensive oil, we mark your oil sticker for 3,000 miles for you to come back in 3,000 miles and have it changed again. If we use a synthetic oil, we mark it for 5,000 miles. If you do have your oil changed by a shop, by a professional, and you like doing that, then and you don't like coming as often, then use a synthetic.
Yeah.
Every car, practically every car, can use a synthetic motor oil. Use a synthetic motor oil. You don't have to come in quite as often, and especially if you drive high miles and don't need to come in for any other reason for us to check your car, then the synthetic is a good option for you. And I think the cost is the same. You know, same per mile.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
cost
right.
per mile is the same. So there's no reason not to use synthetic.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Hi, Danny. My one-year-old car window didn't go up on one of those very cold days. I drove to my mechanic, and it went up once warmed up. Should I not? I'm some Mary from Minnetonka. Should I not use it until it warms up like July? I bet you've seen a bit of that, haven't you?
You know, what we see more of is where the window is froze in the up position, and you go and hit it to put it down, and the transmission or the bushings or the brackets inside break.
Ooh.
Or the channel comes off the glass itself. And so once the window thaws out, that it actually falls down into the door. And then we have to put it all back together. So that's one thing that I would warn everybody about is in the morning, before you start your vehicle, before you warm it up, don't try and put the windows down because they are frozen in place and they will not go down, and you run a good chance of breaking something.
Not good. So patience and warm it up.
Be patient.
Right. We need to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back with more. And welcome back to our Car Care Show here on CCO. Dan is going to be with us for about another 10 minutes, or not 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes or so. Dan, we have some texters. Let's not forget those good folks. Let's see. Intake manifold gasket leaking on a 2003 Chevy Suburban. Okay to drive for a while, or should I get it fixed ASAP?
Well, it depends what it's leaking. If it's leaking air, or if it's leaking coolant, if it's leaking externally or internally. I guess the one reason you should not drive it is if it's leaking coolant internally, and if coolant is leaking into the oil, that's breaking down the oil and it's going to wreck the oil, which will ultimately wreck the engine. So, but if it's an air leak, causing a misfire, a rough idle or something like that, in the short term, it's fine to drive. But same thing, if you keep driving it like that, problems with other things can occur. So I guess my answer is short term, it's probably fine. Long term, no, you should get it fixed.
On my 96 Celica GT, gas cap is nearly impossible to twist off when refueling. I use a vice grip wrench to remove it. Could this be caused by some defective? Well, the text doesn't. It ends there.
Yes. Go get a new gas cap. They're inexpensive.
Okay.
They're an important and integral part of the evaporative system. So their gas cap is, you know, a very important part of the car. It can cause your check engine light to come on. So go get a probably an original equipment a gas cap.
Yeah, it's probably smart to do that.
Yeah.
2015 Subaru Forester, frost on inside of windshield first thing in the morning and end of day, does not appear when protective cover is placed over the windshield.
Well, this time of year, everybody's been getting in their car with snow on their boots and the carpet is soaking wet. And
so the moisture is coming
up. I just think there's probably so much moisture in the car that that's the way it is. One thing that you could try doing is shop vacuuming the car, you know, getting the moisture out of the car as best you can. But I think that's just kind of a byproduct of all the wet that's in the car.
Continuing with some of the texts we missed last week, Vicky from Duluth said, I have a 2018 Subaru Forester. I've been disappointed in the heater. It doesn't seem to heat as hot as I'm used to. I kind of looked on the internet. It seems like other people have the same issue. Should I bring it back to the dealer for any adjustments?
Did you tell, what year did you say it was?
It is a, does she say, 2018.
Oh, it's brand new. Yeah, I'm afraid that if you're finding on the internet that there's other people complaining about the same thing, that the heat quality is not good, I'm afraid that it's a design flaw. Yes, you should check with the dealership and see if there's any adjustments that are able to be made. And sometimes if they say no, there's, you know, that's just the way it is, give it a little time and maybe next winter try again, because quite often the manufacturer will come up with repairs and service bulletins. They send them out to the dealership and to us, to everybody, that of ideas that somebody has come up with that has worked that will solve a problem like that. So they might not have a solution to it yet, but somewhere down the road they might figure out a solution if there's enough complaints about it.
Okay. Another one from last week, 2017 Hyundai Sonata hybrid, blind spot detection canceled warning. Where would the sensors be? Just need to clean off or make sure no ice on them?
Well, they don't need to be cleaned off. The sensors are actually... I'm not sure if they're magnetic or sonar or what the hell they operate. They're not magnetic, but anyway, they have some sort of way of device of sensing through things. In fact, so it's not dirt. I imagine if there's enough snow built up on the sensors, that could do it. But you know, the most common. I mean, first of all, nowadays, sensors are everywhere. They're in your mirrors. They're in your bumpers. They're all over the car.
They are.
And there's going to be more of that. So we're going to have to get used to this. But most commonly, they're in the bumper. And usually, that's where the trouble is if you're having trouble with them.
Okay. Another one, text, 2000 Silverado. Occasionally, the battery goes totally dead. Nothing is left on. Can the reason for this be found even when it's not happening?
No.
It's intermittent.
That's
things.
A challenge. And you say nothing's being left on, which you think is true, but the fact of the matter is something is being left on that you're not aware of.
Yeah.
Something that's not supposed to stay on. And sometimes we'll find it's in a computer or a module that's supposed to be shutting down that's not shutting down, or you know, the alarm system or something is supposed to go into a sleep mode and it's not. At times, and the only thing you can do, unfortunately, is bring it into a shop and let them spend the time with it trying to get it to act up. And, you know, we sometimes have cars set up with all of our test equipment sitting on them for a couple of days. But, you know, if it only happens every month or two, that's really hard
to nail down.
Maybe the best answer is go get a jump pack and have it in your car so you have a backup when you need it.
That's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, that is frustrating.
Another text says, 2014 Ford Escape, when I put a car in reverse, a display shows, quote, parking aid on-off is highlighted. Is there a problem or is that normal? I don't remember seeing that before.
Well, I think it's telling you if the parking aid is on or off. And oftentimes, you know, the parking aid is an accessory that you can turn on or off. So there's probably a button somewhere that perhaps got pushed inadvertently. And if you find that button on the dash somewhere and switch it, maybe you'll go back to the way things were before.
Let's see. I think this is one more. We have time. I think we might grab a couple more. 2013 Chevy Equinox. Where is the blower motor? Doesn't seem to be working. You got to remember some of these, automatic.
I'll tell you.
The control panel for the heater shows no lights because I cannot get down the volume of the radio or even turn off the radio. Would you think it could be a fuse to the controller panel for the blower motor system set up or a resistor or some control module sensor?
You know, if it's the radio and the blower motor, if it's the radio and the climate control assembly that are both not working, it's more likely a module. I would imagine the body control module controls both of those. And I'll bet the problem is in that body control module, which means you'll have to bring that in and get some help.
Get some pro help.
We'll have to hook up scan tool equipment to those modules and see what's going on.
Let's try to get Rich in Lakeville's question answered. Hi, Rich. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Dan, Denny. I've got a 2004 Honda Civic EX. The cruise control, I use it quite often when I'm going down the road. I put it on and you go maybe 10, 20 miles, and then boom, it just automatically, it just kicks off. And I'll try resetting it, and it'll work again, and then it'll kick off. And then it just does this intermittently. And I was just wondering if you had any ideas on that.
Well, one idea that I have, and you could check this out, is as you're driving down the road, if you touch the brake pedal, the brake lights, of course, will flash and it'll disengage the cruise control. And that's one of the things, if that brake light switch is not working quite right, and if you hit a bump or something and the brake light switch flashes quickly, it'll turn off the cruise control. Something like that is a possibility. But there's, you know, of course, with the cruise control, there's a whole bunch of things that are safety devices that are a part of it. One thing that you could bring it in and have it have the cruise control scanned. Of course, it's a computer like everything else on your car, and it'll store information. But that's one thing that you could check. And one thing you could do is perhaps even disconnect the brake light switch and take it for a drive and see if that takes care of it. If not, then you'll have to take it in and get some help with that.
Dan, we have to take our leave, make way for Jack Farrell. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. We'll have another show next week, right?
Sounds good.
All right, very good. Thank you, Dan Burns.